Well, good morning, church. My name is Daniel. I serve as one of the pastors here at Terra Nova. And before we open the Bible together this morning, I want to invite the Alexander family, Stephen and Emily and baby Grace, up to the stage as we do a baby dedication this morning. It's actually Grace's one-year-old birthday today, so if you see her, wish her a happy birthday. So at Terra Nova, a baby dedication is a little bit different than something like a baptism. At Terra Nova, we would believe that a baptism is something that happens to someone that's already done. God has already done something in that person. Whereas with a baby dedication is more of a commitment that in particular the parents, and by extension the community, is making to something that's yet to happen. A commitment to a certain kind of future. A kind of future where you guys recognize, yes, that Grace is a gift to you. But she's also to be held loosely, open-handed, recognizing whose she ultimately is. As one of the Psalms tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein, you guys and also Grace, ultimately the Lord's. And so he's called you to be stewards, those who care for something that's not your own and do so in a way that you do that well and unto the Lord. And so the specific kind of steward that he's called you to be is one in which you are raising Grace to know and to love Jesus. And so a baby dedication, in many ways, is more about the parents, Stephen and Emily today, than it is even Grace, even though she's the direct beneficiary. And so what you guys are called to is a commitment to raise and instruct her in the ways of Jesus. And we know that ultimately God changes hearts, right? Salvation is by the grace of God through faith, and we know that these things are gifts. And yet, he's given us a multitude of tools to use to create an environment that gives baby Grace the best possible opportunity to meet and to know Jesus, right? There's a lot of them. I'm going to just share a couple with you that I think rise to the surface. One is, you guys, yourselves, get to know Jesus for the sake of Jesus. As Christians, I think our default oftentimes, for myself I'll say, is to get to know Jesus so that I can be a better parent, so that I can be a better boss or coworker or spouse or friend. This makes Jesus a means to an end other than himself. But if you guys are getting to know Jesus for the sake of a deeper relationship with him, Grace is going to pick up on that. There's going to be times in your life where you don't necessarily know how to parent and you make the wrong decisions, at least speaking from experience, that's true for myself. But the thing is, she's also going to be able to detect that her parents have been with Jesus. Figuratively speaking, there's kind of that fragrance or that aroma of Christ that believers and non-believers alike pick up on those who are with Jesus. And that's going to serve her better than anything. The other thing I'll say to you guys, and this requires a little bit of humility, but is recognize the role that other people will have in helping Grace to know and love Jesus. Now, I'm sure you have no problem with that. I don't, but I think as parents, we often envision the day where we'll be sitting down with our child and having that final conversation where they come to know and accept Christ. And I pray that that's the case for you guys. I pray that that's the case for myself. But at the same time, I've heard lots of stories about parents saying, you know what? It was a friend. It was someone else's parents. It was a Sunday school teacher. And you guys are still responsible to steward this life God has given you to put her in proximity with other godly men and women and friends who can help her along on that journey. So it's with those things in mind that I want to ask you guys three questions this morning, to which if you agree, you'll answer we do, and I know you will. And then I'm going to answer or ask a question of your church family here as well. So Stephen and Emily, knowing that all of life is from God, the Creator, and that even the life of Grace, this child, is rightfully his, do you recognize the importance of the sacred duty entrusted to you to raise Grace? Do you guys commit anew your lives to the faithful love and service of the Savior, recognizing and obeying the spiritual injunctions to regularly pray, personally read God's word, and gather for mutual support and fellowship with the people of God? And do you promise to raise Grace to love and to serve God and all humanity, and in the days when she is able to understand, to instruct her in the ways of salvation through Christ according to the Holy Scriptures? Terra Nova, as by extension a part of the Alexander family, church family, biological family here today, and friends, I know that some of you have already had an impact and are in their lives. Some of you will in the future in various ways, whether it be through a small group or one of Grace's teachers in our kids program or in other ways. And so I want to ask you at this time if you would stand, and I'm going to ask you a question to which you should respond, we will. Terra Nova, will you support and pray for the Alexanders in raising Grace and so fulfill the law of Christ? We will. Stephen, as the pastor of your home, I'm going to ask now that you just take some time to pray for Grace and your family, and we'll agree with you silently in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of good gifts, and you have given us this precious gift in Grace Ellen Alexander, Lord. And just thinking a year ago today, just the amazing and joyful moment it was when she entered this world, Father. And we just thank you so much for who she is and just the joy that she has brought to our lives, Father. And we just ask, Lord, as she grows and she matures, that you would just capture her heart at a young age, Father. We pray that she would just be tender to your spirit and your calling on her life, Lord, that she can come to know Jesus as her Savior at a young age. And just walk and follow after you, Lord. And Father, we pray for Emily and I as we raise her, that you would just give us your wisdom, Lord, that we can just raise her in your ways and your truths. We pray, as Daniel said, that we would be just good stewards of her, Father. And Lord, we ask that we would just follow after you and follow after Jesus with a passion that is so strong that Grace would see that at a young age and she would recognize that there's something different inside of Emily and I, and that difference is Christ inside of us, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for Terra Nova and the church here and the church body. And we pray as Grace has many Sunday school teachers and babysitters and just learning from the pastors here, that she would just learn and grow, and that she would learn outside of the home and through the church, and pray that she would always be tender to the church and just love being a part of the community of believers that seek to serve and to follow after you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for Grace and the gift that she is, and we just ask that she would grow to become a godly woman who loves you and who loves Jesus, and that she would just impact this world for your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks, guys. We love you. We're so glad that you're a part of this community. And it's our privilege to come alongside and support you in this journey with Grace. So, thanks. Well, we're going to continue now in a time of being in God's Word together. We're going to continue on in our short little series we've been in the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom, captures many themes and gives us instruction how to live in light of those things. We've talked about wisdom in general and money last week and the heart this week. And so we've taken a break from our People of God series. Today will be the official end to Proverbs. We may extend it by 1 week. I don't know yet for next week. I have the privilege of introducing Josh Haas today. He is somebody who you guys may be familiar with. Some of you may have known the Haases for a long time. Josh, Jess, and their family. Caleb, Aaron, and their newest addition, Cora. We're grateful to have them. You may have seen Josh leading worship at one point in time or another, and today we get to hear from him as he opens God's Word. I got a chance to meet with him earlier this week and just kind of hear him talk through his own pilgrimage he's been on and how God's been working in his heart, so timely for him, and we're just grateful to have you serve us in this way, Josh. Thanks. Bring the Word, brother.
Thank you, Daniel. That's there. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Terra Nova. As Daniel said, my name is Josh. I'm one of the worship leaders here, and I've been given the privilege of talking to you about what the Proverbs have to say about the heart. And if I'm honest, when I read through the Proverbs, I too often move through those passages too quickly in a way that I miss the depth and the beauty of what God is trying to teach me. So my hope this morning is that together we would slow down, quiet our minds, and meditate on what the Lord is trying to teach us today. Would you guys pray with me as we begin? Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning to give you glory and honor and praise. We come to exalt your name above all others. Our wish is that you would open our hearts today to your truths, that you would teach us things about our hearts that would help us to walk in wisdom. And as the Proverbs say, we seek to bind your teaching on our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe this is the fourth week in our series on Proverbs. Pastor Scott did the first three weeks. The first week he talked about the Proverbs that were written by King Solomon, that God offered King Solomon anything in the world he could possibly want, and Solomon chose wisdom. This book is kind of the culmination of his efforts to grow in knowledge and wisdom. The second week, we talked about the purpose of the book of Proverbs, and we defined wisdom as the skill of living. And last week, we talked about money and how to deal with money wisely, that it can be the root of all kinds of evil. Therefore, we must be the masters over it, not the servants of it, and that money uncovers our heart and our true ambition. This week, we're going to talk about what the Proverbs have to say about the heart. We're going to talk specifically about what it looks like to live in wisdom in regards to the heart, because that's what this whole book is about, is wisdom and what that means for our heart. So if you guys are ready, let's dig in. We're going to start in Proverbs 4:23. And this is kind of where the entire sermon spawns off of. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And yours says it a little bit differently. This is the NIV, but it is a pretty well-known verse, and it can be interpreted both in a physical sense, but also a figurative sense, that the scripture here is not talking about our hearts in its physical form, but it's using the imagery of our actual heart to help us realize how vital this figurative heart is. Our physical hearts pump blood to every part of our body, and without the heart, we die. And in the same way, if we don't protect this heart that the Proverbs is speaking of, it will lead us to forms of death. Severed relationships, poor community, loneliness, poor decisions, foolishness, you name it, it's there. And in the same way, our physical hearts give life to the rest of our body. So this figurative heart supplies vitality to many areas of our life. So this imagery of the heart is trying to explain something that's on a higher plane, something that we can't taste or touch, but rather something that is felt and sensed, but is also very, very real. And if I were to define what the heart says, or what the heart does, I would say this. I would say that our heart carries wisdom and foolishness that directs human thought, speech, and action. I'm going to say that again and let that sink in, because this is important to really figure out what our heart does. Our heart carries wisdom or foolishness that directs human thought, speech, and action. So it is the precursor to our speech and the precursor to our actions. The heart, Proverbs 16:23 says this, "The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. This heart, when we allow wisdom to dwell within, can produce many good things: sound judgment, persuasiveness in good ways, hopefully, healthy decisions that protect us from foolishness or unnecessary pain. The heart produces speech, right? It says our heart, the heart of the wise makes his speech. It produces speech, which is an action that is capable of persuading others. It's an outward manifestation of an inward reality. Our speech and actions can speak volumes about what's inside our heart. Let me say it again. Our speech and our actions can speak volumes about what's inside of our hearts. As I was studying through Proverbs, I was really kind of struck with this imagery as I'm reading through what the heart does, that in many ways our heart is kind of like a ship or a vessel. And this is kind of outlines the rest of the sermon, that our ship, like a ship, our hearts serve as a dwelling place. People can live aboard it. Our hearts can move us like a voyage to action. It can take us places. And ultimately, with ships that are equipped with such things like cannons and guns, our hearts should be prepared to engage in this spiritual battle. And this imagery has really kind of helped me understand the complexity and the importance of our hearts. So let's start off with a dwelling place. What this means. What does it mean that our heart is a dwelling place? It means that our heart carries wisdom and foolishness and knowledge. It's a dwelling place for those inward realities that produce wisdom or foolishness. Proverbs 2:10 says it this way: "For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Our hearts have this ability to actually hold things such as knowledge, discretion, truth, lies, desire, folly, emotion. So we need to be careful what we put in. And we need to be careful what we hold on to, because it determines, as this says, the contentment of our soul. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in this place, but have you ever found yourself miserable for a long period of time, irritated at everyone and everything? And I hope I'm not the only one here who's found myself in this place. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that a fair amount of you have found yourself there. But inevitably, as I explore the things that are going on in my life and the things that I'm allowing my heart to entertain, what I find is that I have let things creep into my heart that I never intended to be there. Whether that's, and I'm gonna go through a laundry list here, malice thoughts towards other people, holding on to anger, entertaining or meditating on sinful thoughts, listening to things that teach foolishness or people that teach foolishness, watching things that lead our thoughts to unhealthy places, reading books that entice your flesh, hanging out with people that aren't good for us, that say things that enter our heart and sit there. And the thing is that many times, no one else knows what's going on in here. All they see is that outward reality of irritation or that outward reality of anger. Sometimes we even barely notice that these things have crept into our lives until we're so miserable that we do the hard work of diagnosing our hearts. So, the first scripture that we talked about said to guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. So how do we do that? Well, if our heart is a dwelling place, we should look at what lives there. Proverbs 6:20 says this: "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will walk with you or talk with you." And it's kind of a peculiar saying that these teaching and commandments will lead you, watch over you, and actually talk with you. And these words in and of themselves aren't able to actually speak back to us. However, when we memorize them and we bind them on our hearts, those teaching and commands, they come out of our mouth, because they're in here already. They come out of our mouth at appropriate times. We're reminded of them when it matters most. And hopefully we recognize danger before it's too late. And this not only applies to our earthly parents, but our heavenly Father as well. God has given us his commandments, his revelation in the scriptures, and his Son as a source of wisdom for our heart. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his step." Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Notice how the heart is what determines our plans. Not just our mind, but our heart that determines our plans. If our heart acts as a vessel where we put things into it, it matters a great deal. For those of you that are familiar with the term garbage in, garbage out, that's what happens. If we put garbage in, all the coders and geeks just started laughing. I love it. If we put junk into our hearts, what do we expect to get out? It's the same way with our work. Proverbs 24:2 says, "For their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble." What's devising the violence? The heart. And if the heart has the capacity to do good, it also has the capacity to do evil. Everything we think, everything we say doesn't just come from our mind, it comes from someplace deeper. When we say ugly things, and we are all guilty of saying ugly things, we have entertained those thoughts in our hearts long before they ever came out of our mouth. So here again, I ask the question, how do we guard our hearts in a way that gives us life, in a way that gives our soul pleasure or contentment? If you turn with me to Proverbs 22, verse 17. Proverbs 22:17. We're going to go to verse 19. It says, this is kind of a roadmap for us. It says, "Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord." Keep that open, because we're going to talk about that for a while. If you look at the sequence of events in this passage, we see that Solomon is saying to us that listening to knowledge and wisdom, if applied, there is a big but right there, that if it is applied, we can listen to knowledge and wisdom all day long, but if we don't apply it to our heart, it means nothing. And so if applied to the heart, it will lead to pleasure, a readiness to share this wisdom with others, and security that we can trust in the Lord. So the first step that Solomon is saying that we need to influence our heart is inclining our ear, or paying attention, or turning our ear. This means listening intently, creating an environment so that we have the opportunity to absorb as much as possible, but also creating space for us to internalize God's truths, his commands and teachings. And so we talked about how that this knowledge and wisdom is useless unless we apply it to our heart. This means turning our ear in such a way that allows knowledge and wisdom to sink in. If it doesn't sink in, if it does not make it to our hearts, we cannot change our actions. This takes time, so be patient. It takes effort, so be persistent. And it takes intent, so plan. And the question I have for you is, because everybody absorbs information differently, is how do you personally absorb information? How do you process it? How do you use it? Think about that. We do this on a daily basis with our jobs, with our kids, with our spouses, with life in general. We hear something and we think, oh, I really got to do that. Well, how do you make that happen? It's no different with the heart. Take some intent. Wisdom should also give our hearts gladness. We are uncovering truths and finding spiritual treasure. If you look through the Proverbs, you listen to the wisdom. Wisdom shouts out, it's treasure. It's something waiting to be found. It's more valuable than treasure. We are uncovering truths and spiritual treasure. Not only does it help us avoid displeasure, but it has this positive emotional impact on our heart. And many Proverbs are telling us that wisdom cries out in the streets, that it's ready to be taken. It's ready and available if we would just listen. This proverb is telling us that it is pleasing to have wise sayings ready to share. Now, C.S. Lewis has a great commentary on why such things should give us pleasure and joy. So I'm going to read a quote from C.S. Lewis. But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise, unless shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. Let me read that again. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it gorgeous? Don't you think that magnificent? The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. Let me read that again. The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. My whole more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us, as regards to the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing, and about everything else we value. What C.S. Lewis is saying here is that we spontaneously praise what we treasure in our hearts. Praise is the consummation of our joy in something. It is evidence of what you treasure in your heart. So what do you find yourself praising? This is a great indicator. What do you find yourself praising? And does it terminate on the thing itself? Or does it terminate on the creator who created it? Which will bring gladness to our heart. Even more challenging than looking at what we praise is just looking at our speech as a whole. Luke 6:45 says, "The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." This is controlled by this. Our tongue is controlled by our heart. Our speech is representative of what's in our heart. Therefore, there is a need for us to evaluate our speech because it reveals our heart. We started this morning with, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And we see in the Proverbs that in order to protect our heart, we must fill it with wisdom. But we must also realize this isn't saying that we need to protect ourselves from normal, everyday hurt and pain. Relationships, things that happen out of life circumstances. The Proverbs are telling us that we need to protect our hearts against foolishness and the unnecessary pain that that brings. And that this guarding of our heart leads to a full life. I'd like to move into the Old Testament to Philippians 4, if you'd turn there with me. This is a great passage to underline, Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It's a pretty well-known passage that I think is good for our hearts. I think it is very good for our hearts. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. For my own help, I've underlined those words that are important for me to recognize in this passage. Honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellence, and worthy of praise. Those things help remind me of what to dwell on, because when I dwell on those things, I realize that all of those things naturally come from who? They come from God. Those things that are honorable come from God. The things that are pure and lovely. But Paul says that we not only do we need to dwell on these things, but we need to practice them as well. This command is not just terminated on listening or just thinking about, but in everything we must do, must terminate on God to find our ultimate fulfillment. As C.S. Lewis observed earlier, we find our greatest fulfillment in life when everything comes full circle to acknowledging the goodness and the greatness of God. Great steak, great wine, great music. Thank God. To find ultimate fulfillment and joy, we should be naturally praising God as He is the giver of all good things. Honestly, this task of filling our hearts with wisdom, protecting it and guarding it is impossible if we don't know Jesus Christ. Mastering this skill of living is outside of our grasp unless our heart is soft and ready to receive truth. Because how can you hold on to truth if you aren't ready to receive it? How can you hold on to truth if your heart is not soft enough to accept it? And it is impossible to hear without the Spirit opening our eyes and opening our ears to hear. However, there is hope. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. There is good news that God is ready to offer wisdom. He offers to replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. God offers to fill you with himself. And this is great news for those of us that are struggling. This is great news for those of us who are too tired to continue to do it on our own. As we end our time together this morning, at least in worship through Scripture, I hope this exploration of the Proverbs of the heart is you've gained an appreciation for the gravity of guarding your heart. Not from relationships or pain, but from that foolishness and folly, from entertaining foolishness and folly in our heart. We must be careful what we put into it, for it can lead to a life full of wisdom, or it can lead to a life of unnecessary heartache. So if I were to kind of draw some application points, I'd like to reiterate this point, that our hearts carry wisdom or foolishness that direct human thought, speech, and action. When we memorize and meditate and bind his commandments on our hearts, doesn't it make it easier for us to follow our own heart? Secular wisdom tells us to follow our own heart, but if we're putting junk in, that is a very bad idea. Meditate, memorize, bind his commands on your heart. If you want to take a look at what's in your heart, examine your speech, examine what you praise. And there is wisdom and life in Jesus Christ. There is wisdom and life in Jesus Christ. I appreciate spending this time with you. If you feel that God was revealing himself to you today, would you please come talk to Pastor Daniel or I or one of the other members of the team up here? Because we would love to share more with you about what it looks like to live in wisdom, what it looks like to live with Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you pray with me as we move into a time of worship? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us wisdom in your Spirit and Word. We strive to be wise in your eyes, but we often fail. Our words uncover our hearts as we speak words that cannot be undone. We often do things that we regret. I ask you to give us an awareness of your Spirit that would help us to grow in wisdom. May you give us all that we need to guard our hearts. Let us find joy and contentment for our soul that we have been longing for as we incline our ear to you. And as we grow in faithfulness and knowledge and wisdom, may we never fail to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.